Tonight, outrage and controversy over a landmark change that could transform the way we all use the internet, how it affects you, how you could be blocked or charged more to access your favorite sites and services on the web. Is the GOP tax plan in jeopardy? Republicans suddenly scrambling as powerful senators threaten to vote no. And tonight, our closer look at the body blow to Obamacare inside the plan. Omarosa's dramatic departure from the White House.
As a senior staff and assistant to the president, I have seen things that have made me uncomfortable.
As sources tell NBC News, she was forced out. Her ouster is raising questions. New allegations against powerful men accused of sexual misconduct and how they are pushing back. And a young actress inspiring America.
It's an amazing opportunity to play an inspiring role.
In some ways, it's the role of a lifetime.
This is NBC Nightly News with Lester Holt.
Good evening and thank you for joining us. The government just changed the rules affecting your internet, essentially turning the web from a neutral and level playing field for users and providers into an arena for open competition. The FCC voting along party lines today to do away with an Obama-era regulation known as net neutrality. While the name doesn't exactly roll off the tongue, critics say the decision to end it affects everything from streaming services like Netflix to how quickly websites load, even to what websites you see. Our Jolene Kent has details.
That equality over the internet is a right.
High drama today, both outside and inside the FCC.
On advice of security, we need to take a brief recess.
A sudden evacuation moments before the vote to overhaul the way the internet is regulated. After an all clear, the controversial decision from Commissioner Ajit Pai.
The chair votes aye. The item is adopted.
With that vote, internet service providers like AT&T, Verizon, Charter, and NBC parent company Comcast can slow down access to content from companies like Netflix, Hulu, and YouTube if those companies do not pay for faster service. Internet providers could also route you to content they own. For consumers, that could mean higher prices or no access to the shows and websites you want. Also, the internet service providers could charge you more based on how much you use overall.
Is that about to happen?
That fear is unfounded. Prior to 2015, before these regulations were imposed, we had a free and open internet. Consumers benefit, entrepreneurs benefit, everybody in the internet economy is better off with a market-based approach.
All four major internet providers responded today, saying their internet practices will stay the same.
Hey guys, it's Danny, and today I am showing...
But small online entrepreneurs like Danny Spees, a YouTube cooking star, is still worried about the future of her business.
That's the gift of YouTube and the platform we're on, is that you can create this information and it's accessible to anybody who is wanting it.
She's now concerned her videos could end up in the slow lane and fewer people will be able to watch them.
If we don't have an audience, we don't have a business. It's that simple.
Now, Lester, all of this could go into effect as soon as the next couple of weeks. Today, Netflix saying it's disappointed in the decision and Google saying it will remain committed to net neutrality. Critics of the repeal plan to keep on protesting this decision with lawsuits and possible legislation to overturn today's legislation and today's decision. Lester, we're all just getting started on this story.
And we're going to have to wait and see how it actually plays
out.
All right, Jolene, thank you. Now to those new questions swirling around the dramatic departure of Omarosa Manigault Newman, the apprentice contestant turned White House staffer who's leaving the Trump administration. And she says she's seen things inside the administration that made her uncomfortable. And she has plenty to say about it. NBC's Kristen Welker has details.
Tonight, President Trump bidding farewell to Omarosa Manigault Newman, who was tasked with outreach to the black community.
I like Omarosa. Omarosa is a good person.
A former reality TV star, now Omarosa is stirring up a real-life drama, today announcing her plans for a tell-all about her experiences as the most high-profile African-American in the Trump West Wing.
I have seen things that have made me uncomfortable, that have upset me, that have affected me deeply and emotionally, that has affected my community and my people. And when I can tell my story, it is a profound story that I know the world will want to hear.
One of her reported frustrations, President Trump's response to the white nationalist marches in Charlottesville.
I think there's blame on both sides.
And she's no stranger to controversy of her own.
Every critic, every detractor, will have to bow down to President Trump.
Today, Omarosa pushed back against reports Chief of Staff John Kelly fired her and had her escorted off White House grounds Tuesday night.
I resigned. John Kelly and I sat down in the Situation Room, which is a very secure, very quiet room in the White House. And we had a very candid conversation.
Omarosa is one of only three black officials among President Trump's more than three dozen cabinet members and senior staffers. Her departure raising questions about diversity at the White House at all levels.
Look, we have a really diverse team across the board at the White House. I don't have a number directly in front of me, specifically not African-American.
There clearly needs to be somebody of color at the table talking with the president and helping the president understand the needs of the African-American community.
A source close to the White House says Omarosa was escorted off the grounds after trying to enter the residence to appeal her firing. That's an account Omarosa calls 100% false. The Secret Service says it was not involved in removing Omarosa, but did deactivate her high-level security pass. Lester.
Kristen Welker at the White House, thank you. Now to those sweeping changes concerning your taxes. Senate Republicans tonight are suddenly scrambling to lock down enough votes to pass their massive plan before Christmas, as some powerful GOP senators are now threatening to vote no unless their concerns are addressed. NBC's Casey Hunt is at the Capitol.
Tonight, Senator Marco Rubio now threatening to vote no unless Republican leaders agree to give American families a bigger child tax credit.
Unless they can figure out a way to add to the 1,100 figure, I won't support the bill.
Senator Mike Lee is also undecided because of the child tax credit. And Senator Bob Corker is still a no on the bill. Because they can only lose two votes, that means Republicans could be at risk of falling short of the 50 votes they need to pass the bill. The president, confident Rubio will come around.
He's really been a great guy and very supportive. I think that Senator Rubio will be there for sure.
But Vice President Mike Pence, who's already had to cast six tie-breaking votes in the Senate this year.
The Senate being equally divided, the vice president votes in the affirmative.
Delaying a critical trip to the Middle East in case they need him this time. Also a concern, 80-year-old Thad Cochran, who's missed votes this week for health reasons. And Senator John McCain fighting brain cancer.
We're doing just fine.
Now hospitalized and absent from the Senate this week.
It's all about timing and managing absences in the Senate.
With time running out for the president and his party to make good on any major campaign promise before the year is out.
Republicans have said there's an agreement, but some of those final details are still being hammered out. We expect to see a final copy of the bill tomorrow. The goal is to start voting early next week. That's what it would take to get a bill on the president's desk before Christmas. Lester.
Casey Hunt, thank you very much. And as of right now, that GOP tax plan eliminates the so-called individual mandate, which requires every American to have health insurance. It's a key element to the Obamacare law designed to spread the cost of insurance to everyone, not just the sick. Unable to repeal and replace Obamacare, Republicans are instead trying to undermine it. So is this a body blow to Obamacare? Again tonight, NBC's Tom Costello has our reality check.
Okay. While Obamacare isn't quite on life support, independent health experts say the Republican tax plan does inflict a serious wound. By eliminating the individual mandate, 13 million people, mostly healthy, are expected to choose to go without insurance, driving up premiums by at least 10% for Obamacare customers who don't get government subsidies.
This way, Redroom.
In Detroit, veterinary clinic manager Annalise Cottrell pays $170 a month for Obamacare, but next month her premium jumps 20%. She worries it's headed even higher.
I need insurance. It's definitely something I need. I don't want to go into debt if I were to get sick.
With fewer people on Obamacare, the Congressional Budget Office predicts a $338 billion savings, helping to offset tax cuts for the wealthy. Meanwhile, President Trump wants insurers to offer short-term coverage that doesn't cover pre-existing conditions as Obamacare requires. The risk?
We're going to shunt the healthy people, de facto, into the cheaper plans, and the sicker people will stay in Obamacare, making Obamacare even more expensive.
Obamacare is collapsing and failing, so we won't be able to ignore that problem.
Mandate or not, Obamacare is Annalise's only option.
I hope that it's still affordable. I hope that it's still available.
Obamacare 2018 enrollment ends tomorrow, but with the White House allowing just a six-week sign-up window, several million fewer people may buy in, further undermining the market. Tom Costello, NBC News, Washington.
Tragedy tonight in the Southern California wildfires. A firefighter was killed while battling the Thomas Fire, one of the largest in state history, though officials have yet to release details about how he died. The fire is now over 242,000 acres with at least 900 structures destroyed and 18,000 more still under threat. Late word tonight from the White House confirming Vladimir Putin spoke with President Trump by telephone today. Putin also praised Mr. Trump during his traditional end-of-the-year news conference today. And during that four-hour-long event, Putin was confronted by the woman who's taking him on in next year's elections. We get details from NBC's Keir Simmons.
Tonight, President Putin praising President Trump's leadership, pointing to Wall Street gains, calling the Russian election meddling investigation spy hysteria. But today, also coming face-to-face with the woman who wants to replace him. Ksenia Sobchak, once called Russia's Paris Hilton, now Putin's unlikely election opponent.
Even in this fake system, there are people who are ready to fight. There are people who are not afraid.
But detractors allege she's running with Putin's blessing to make the election look legitimate. Her father, one of Putin's mentors.
You can see why people would be suspicious.
They can say and they will say whatever they like. I think they should judge actions.
And while the leading opposition candidate, Alexei Navalny, says if, as expected, he is banned from running, people should not vote, Sobchak disagrees.
My goal is not to come with a gun and kill Putin. My goal is to come and say that there are millions of people who are against the way he rules the country and that this should be changed.
She asked President Putin today, why are many opposition politicians in Russia jailed or killed? Do you want a coup? He fired back. Putin is expected to win overwhelmingly next year. Lester?
Keir Simmons in Moscow tonight. Thank you. Back home, the Trump administration took on Iran today, claiming it is violating UN Security Council resolutions by exporting missiles and other military hardware. And UN Ambassador Nikki Haley hauled out the evidence that she says proves it. NBC News Chief Foreign Affairs Correspondent Andrea Mitchell has details.
Tonight, UN Ambassador Nikki Haley escalating the administration's war of words against Iran.
It's hard to find a conflict or a terrorist group in the Middle East that does not have Iran's fingerprints all over it.
In an unprecedented step, displaying parts of missiles brought to a U.S. military base. What she calls irrefutable evidence, Iran violated UN resolutions by supplying weapons fired last month at a civilian airport in Saudi Arabia, launched by rebels in Yemen. The missiles stamped with the logo of an Iranian manufacturer.
Just imagine if this missile had been launched at Dulles Airport or JFK, or the airports in Paris, London, or Berlin. That's what we're talking about here. That's what Iran is actively supporting.
A dramatic photo op to build a case against Iran, to justify the president's larger goal, finally withdrawing from the Iran nuclear deal, despite widespread support for the agreement from European allies and the UN.
I think Haley was trying to buy him a little political space by underlining for the world that Iran's behavior in the region is very bad, even though it's not directly related to the nuclear agreement.
And Lester, tonight, Iran called Haley's evidence fabricated, setting the stage for a diplomatic showdown next month when President Trump has to again decide whether to withdraw from the nuclear deal, further isolating him, if he does, from most of America's closest allies.
Lester. All right. Andrew Mitchell, good to have you here. Thank you. Still ahead, new allegations of sexual misconduct against powerful men in the world of media and entertainment. But now the accused are fighting back. Also, he's a viral sensation. The story behind the video of a teen realizing his dream just came true. We're back now with new allegations of sexual misconduct against powerful men in media. The founder of Def Jam Records, Russell Simmons, and talk show host Tavis Smiley. Both men are refusing to take these claims quietly, publicly firing back. Meanwhile, new accusations have also surfaced against Matt Lauer. NBC News senior national correspondent Kate Snow has the latest.
On Instagram, Russell Simmons was defiant, writing, "Today, I begin to properly defend myself."
In extensive reports in the LA Times and New York Times, 9 more women accused Simmons of a wide range of misconduct, from vulgar language to assault to 4 instances of rape in the 1980s and 90s. I shut my eyes and waited for it to end, Tina Baker told the New York Times, adding Simmons said, "Don't fight me." 2 weeks ago, Simmons stepped back from running his business empire after 2 other women accused him of rape. Simmons is denying the allegations, vowing to share evidence of his innocence and to contrast the popular hashtag MeToo, writing hashtag NotMe.
It is clear that this has gone too far, and I, for one, intend to fight back.
Tavis Smiley, also on offense. After PBS said it suspended distribution of his show following an investigation. Variety reports witnesses interviewed expressed concern that their employment status was linked to the status of a sexual relationship with Smiley.
PBS launched this so-called investigation of me without ever even telling me about it.
Smiley adding, if having a consensual relationship with a colleague years ago is the stuff that leads to this kind of public humiliation and personal destruction, heaven help us.
The question is whether or not there is too much now blurring of the lines. We don't want to find that the real offenders here, the really horrendous assaulters, aggressors, rapists, are somehow blurring into these other guys.
Hi, my name is Army Staff Sergeant Addie Collins.
Before Addie Collins joined the Army, she worked first as an intern, then a production assistant at the Today Show. In July 2000, when she was about to leave NBC, she says Lauer began sending her flattering messages, messages she printed out. Then he invited her to his dressing room. It was a consensual encounter, Collins told Variety, but she was 24 and he was one of the most powerful men in the company. Even though my situation with Matt was consensual, I ultimately felt like a victim because of the power dynamic. NBC News declined to comment on the Variety story. Matt Lauer has been terminated by NBC for inappropriate sexual behavior in the workplace.
Lester, a spokesperson for Matt Lauer, said they have no further comment right now. And tonight, the New York Police Department confirms they are reviewing information regarding allegations against Russell Simmons. Also, Variety reporting now there are new allegations against actor Dustin Hoffman, with one woman accusing him of exposing himself to her when she was a minor, while 2 others accuse him of assault. Representatives for Dustin Hoffman calling those allegations defamatory falsehoods, Lester.
All right, Kate Snow, thank you. Coming up, tis the season for giving to yourself, the rising trend this holiday season. Tonight, a pair of big names are joining forces in a business mega deal. Disney is buying a large part of 21st Century Fox from the Murdoch family, including Fox's movie and TV studios, in a deal worth $52.4 billion. The Murdochs will still control the Fox broadcast network and stations, as well as Fox News Channel and Fox Business Network. Tis the season for giving, and it turns out a lot of folks spreading the joy of giving to themselves. A market research group says 24% of those ages 18 to 22 self-gift, and 27% of those 23 to 40 do the same. And that doesn't mean you don't enjoy giving to others, but who knows, you're in the store or surfing the web looking for holiday goodies when you spot something so good it's twice as nice, one for them and maybe one for you too. And the viral video making millions smile. That's the moment 16-year-old Ayrton Little of Louisiana found out he's been accepted to his dream college, Harvard University. The whole room erupting in joy, a priceless reaction. And Little's family has 2 reasons to celebrate. His brother was also just accepted to Stanford. When we come back, the young star making history on the stage in a beloved classic holiday tale. Finally tonight, the young actress bringing a new twist to A Christmas Carol on a famous stage. As our Kevin Tibbles explains, her own life story makes her perfect for this role.
This year at Chicago's Goodman Theater, the child playing the most beloved character in A Christmas Carol has a personal story as meaningful as the one created by Dickens himself. 10-year-old Paris Strickland is the first girl to play the young, disabled Tiny Tim.
God bless us, everyone.
When you hear your daughter say, God bless us, everyone, what do you think?
It does take me back to 10 years ago, like, wow, we were in a really bad spot.
As a baby, Paris was diagnosed with a rare cancer, neuroblastoma. She's healthy now, but her mobility is somewhat limited.
I have a little bit harder time walking and running. I just put it behind me and say, it's fine. I can still run, just maybe not that fast.
And yet that didn't break her spirit.
No, not at all. She has a phenomenal spirit. She shines everywhere she goes.
And shine she does as the audience watches her warm the heart of a Christmas curmudgeon.
Oh, humbug.
Me and Tiny Tim are alike in many ways. We started out a little rough. We bring people hope and we change people's perspectives.
Just as Tiny Tim reminds us of the true meaning of Christmas, Paris Strickland reminds us it's still alive today. Kevin Tibbles, NBC News, Chicago.
Really lights up the stage. We appreciate you spending part of your evening with us. Don't forget Thursday Night Football tonight on NBC. That is nightly news for this Thursday night. I'm Lester Holt. For all of us at NBC News, thank you for watching and good night.